This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580, also online at WILL.UIUC.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Why do cats do what cats do? Can you train a cat? How can we better interpret our cats' behaviors? This afternoon, we welcome back to the program feline behaviorist Pam Johnson Bennett. She knows what makes cats tick. She's a certified animal behavior consultant. She's the author of several books on cats and cat behavior, including Think Like a Cat, How to Raise a Well-Adjusted Cat, Not a Sourpuss. So if you have a question about cats or maybe a story to share about cats, today's the day. Join the conversation. Give us a call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area to talk with Pam Johnson Bennett, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455. Pam Johnson Bennett is the author of 6 award-winning books. In addition to Think Like a Cat, her books include Cat Versus Cat and Hiss and Tell. She's also written many articles and columns about cats for magazines and websites. She's a clinical member of the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants and is the founder and chair of the organization's cat division. You'll find her on the web at www.catbehaviorassociates.com. Again, the phone numbers if you'd like to talk with Pam Johnson Bennett, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Pam, it's so good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a delight to talk to you again. Thank you for having me on.
And how are all the feline members of the household?
My feline members, I have 2 cats, Phoebe and Mary, and they're doing great. Feisty as ever.
Very good. We've already got a listener who would like to talk with you.
Okay.
So let's take this first call, a listener in Rantoul on line 4. Hi.
Hello. Name is Mike, and I have a dog named Hunter. Was not really a cat person, but about 3 years ago, we'll just say cat happened. And why do they slobber up against you so much? That's one thing I can't figure out about this cat.
You mean their body? Why do they lean up
against he'll take his mouth against your hand and, you know, get you all soggy with it.
Oh, that's love. That's love. Well, first of all, cats have scent glands along their mouth and their cheeks, and that's how they mark. But that kind of marking is the very loving, comforting kind of marking. So that is a true compliment when they do that. And sometimes they do get a little drooly when they do it because they get so overcome with emotion and they get their lower jaw gets so relaxed. But consider it a compliment.
Yeah. Well, he was an outdoor cat for a while, and I fed him, and then I brought him inside. So he's here to stay.
I wish we all had behavior problems like that, it would be great.
Okie dokie. All right, well, I'm sorry I don't have anything more difficult for you.
So. Well, that's wonderful.
All right, thank you.
That's okay. We're not complaining, right, Pam?
That's right. I like to hear when there aren't problems, too.
333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, if you'd like to talk with our guest, Pam Johnson Bennett. My cat is a little bit like this caller's cat. I don't know if you are familiar with the comic strip, Get Fuzzy.
No.
But there's a character that shows up occasionally from time to time. He's a cat, and his name is Mr. Chubby Hugs. And my cat isn't chubby, but he is definitely Mr. Hugs. So.
Oh, well, that's what most of us dream of. You know, that's what we want. So whenever a cat is affectionate and sociable and wants to interact with you, I tell people just nurture that. Enjoy it.
Yeah, count your blessings.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener, a listener on a cell phone, line 1. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I've got an older cat, about 13, almost 14 years old, and a friend of mine has found a stray in, well, my original cat, buddy died about a year ago, and he thinks that I should introduce one cat to the other and basically pair them off again. How would you go about introducing an older cat to maybe a younger cat?
Okay, first of all, it's important. Make sure your cat's in good health, because the last thing an older cat needs is the stress of an introduction of a new cat. So if your cat is going through any kind of medical problems or is very easily stressed, it's not necessarily a good idea. So just make sure your cat's in good health. When you do the introduction, you bring the newcomer into a room where you have the litter box and the food set up and hiding places. I call it a sanctuary room. And then you do the introduction very gradually. And the key is you have to give them a reason to like each other. So you do it really like a sense at a time. First, one of the tricks I do is I take a sock and I rub the newcomer down around the mouth with the sock. And then I deposit the sock in my resident cat's area so that he can start to get a feel for, there's a new smell around. And then you let them see each other very briefly while you're giving treats or feeding them, and then they go back and they get separated again. And you do that several times a day so that they start seeing, hey, the only time I see this strange cat is when I get food or I get petted, something positive. And so you're building up their tolerance to each other.
So I should, showing affection to the original cat, so it will be more accepting.
Well, what you want to do, you keep up the affection that you do with your cat now, your original cat, but you have to keep in mind that the resident cat is going to view this as an invasion of territory. The newcomer is going to view this as if he has been dropped behind enemy lines. So the key is to do this very gradually in short sessions where you open the sanctuary door and you give some treats to the newcomer and then you give some treats to your cat and then the door gets closed. And then you do it again a couple hours later, and you build it up so that they start to see each other at a distance, but under positive circumstances.
Okay.
Thank
you very much.
And also look for Pam's book, Cat Versus Cat.
And that will have the whole step-by-step
procedure.
A mistake that many people make is we assume cats can be introduced the way dogs are. So, usually with dogs, of course, there are exceptions. You bring in the second dog and they're instant buddies. It isn't like that with cats. And because it will be very stressful and tense in the beginning doesn't mean they won't be friends later. It just means you have to respect their sense of territory.
Period of adjustment.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk with another listener. A caller on line 2 in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I had a similar question, but it has to do with introducing two cats to a dog. The cats are 5 years old. The dog's about 14.
Okay. Are the cats afraid of the dog, or who's?
We haven't introduced them yet. We're in the midst of combining a household.
Okay.
Two households.
All right.
And the dog has been. Well, she had a friend that died. The cats. The one cat I've had since he was a baby, the other one I adopted when he was about 2 years old.
Okay.
And they're about 4 now.
Is the dog well-trained?
Very.
Okay. And that's very important. You want to have the dog on a leash. The dog needs to be on voice command, and you load yourself up with treats and toys and whatever the dog likes.
Okay.
And you have the dog on one side of the room with you, and you have the cats on another side of the room. Now, if they're very terrified or they're very aggressive, you put them in carriers. If they're not, if they're just curious and they just don't want to get close, then you just leave them loose in the room. And what you're doing is you are training the dog to not react to the cats. So whenever the dog looks at you or chews on his chew toy or behaves, you give him a treat. If you do clicker training, you can click and reward.
Mm-hmm.
If he stands up, if he growls, if he starts to go toward the cat, you give a mild correction. The second he relaxes, you give him a treat. And what that does is it's showing the cats that the dog is not anything to be worried about, and it's also showing the dog he has to respect their territory. And if you do that several times a day over the course of a week or so, it depends because everyone's an individual, they'll start to relax around each other. And then you can bring them a little closer together each time. But you always want to have the dog focusing on you and relaxed.
Okay, that makes sense. That's very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Celeste, the thing that is very important for dog and cat owners who are trying to mix the household to remember is that dogs naturally play by chasing. Cats don't play that way. So if you don't do a good introduction, the dog thinks, oh, there's a new playmate, let me chase him. Well, of course, the cat's going to run because he's afraid. The dog interprets that as a play behavior. The cat interprets it as running for his life. So that's why it's important to not have the dog looking at the cat and lunging, and even though he's excited and wouldn't hurt a fly, it's important that he learns that lesson that we don't chase the cat.
Yeah. When a chase, though, if a chase should happen, is it important for the cat to be able to find a place where the dog can't
right.
get, cats, you know, a little safe haven?
Right. Cats need higher elevations, so you need to have cat trees, you need to have rooms.
Oh, great idea. Okay.
And that's what one of the first questions that I ask the listener, is the dog well-trained?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're dealing with a small little Yorkie, you know, it's one thing, but if you're dealing with a Mastiff or a Lab or a German Shepherd, you need to have that dog on voice command because you can't be pulling and tugging on that dog and thinking you can have physical control over him. So you need to have him on voice command so that you can say stop or stay or come here, whatever your command is.
That's the only way
the cat's going to relax is if he sees the dog isn't a threat.
Yeah. And the cat tree is a great idea.
Cat tree, and if you have a big dog, it's important that even though you have the cat tree, even if he could reach up to the top perch, he has to know that that's an off-limits place.
Right.
Just like the litter box has to be off-limits, the cat's feeding station has to be off-limits.
Okay, let's take another call. A listener in Wellington on line 4. Hello.
Yes, excuse me. We had a couple of cats that my husband had in his business, and we raised them from infanthood. And approximately a year ago, when they were about 8 years old, one of them went missing. Just was there one minute, the next minute it was gone. And they always stayed in at night, and they were pretty well behaved and, you know, were very domesticated. And within a few weeks, well, I noticed a large cat that fit its description, and we had both of these cats neutered, you know, with lounging around within like 3 or 4 blocks of us. And so we don't know whether this cat got, like, shut in somewhere because it was in the dead of the winter, was mistreated somewhere. Would that cause a cat to go feral where you cannot approach it, or is my husband right, it's just, oh, coyote got it?
Once a cat has to go back out, once a cat goes outside and has to revert back to survival mode, life is not the same for him in many cases. So he could just be so, his senses are so on high alert that he's just in survival mode. He's just worried about his safety. You don't know what happened. So it's not necessarily that they revert back to being feral, because a cat won't be feral unless he was born feral. But it's as if you had your house burglarized and your car stolen and, you know, you walk down the street and people are throwing things at you. You get in survival mode. Life is not so nice for you anymore. So even if a friend walks by, your first reaction is going to be to be defensive. And so that's probably what happened. Is life?
Is there any way, you know, it's much skinnier, this particular cat, than in the past, but you can still tell because of their kind of dewlap that it was neutered at one point. And it was we took good care of it. It had its shots, all of its shots and everything. And so it's, you know, it still looks pretty healthy, but you can't get more than like 10 feet close to it.
Yeah, it's a traumatic event. If that is the cat, it's a traumatic event that he went through because he didn't have the skills to be outside. You don't know if he was chased by other cats or was attacked by dogs or if people chased him. So he has no reason to trust anymore. So it's a very slow process. If you do trap him and you do try to rehab him, it's going to be a very slow process where you build trust. That's where I like using clicker training, and there are a lot of good books on clicker training because it's a great way through food and treats to build trust.
Well, presently he's kind of working in an area where a woman feeds a lot of strays.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be the best way to go about trapping it?
If you have a feline rescue group in your area or somebody who does things like that, that's the best way to do it, to get a humane trap. Or what I mean, I do it the old-fashioned way. I get this big old dog crate, and I tie a string to the door, and I hide in the bushes, and I have food in there. And when I see my cat come in there, the cat I'm trying to trap, I pull the string to close the door. You know, that's how I do it.
Uh-huh.
Feline rescue groups have all different techniques that they use.
Well, it'd be possible because he was a wonderful cat, and my husband just loved that cat. Well, you know, we would like to reclaim it, and like I said, it was. Now, its sibling, they were inseparable, you know, they'd sleep sprawled across each other. Would it do any good, do you think, if it saw the sibling?
No, it won't. In fact, I would keep them separated while you're trying to do the rehab if you do trap him, because now this cat is viewing everybody as an enemy,
uh-huh.
and he will overreact, and what that'll happen is cause an unnecessary amount of stress to your other cat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because she was pretty laid back. My husband always...
And you don't want to, you don't need
to. It was kind of more athletic of the two, and the other one is like long-haired calico that my husband says would make a perfect nursing home cat.
You just have to remember that this cat is, it's a traumatic experience. You know, that was a big shock in life, you know, that cat was not equipped to handle.
Yeah.
And so there's no reason to trust. You know, we're just
right.
We've got high alert. You know, senses on high alert. So.
Well, I'll kind of look into the feline rescue.
Or call your local humane association, or even veterinary offices. Very often there is somebody who does do some kind of rescue, and they have the equipment, they have the techniques, and like in my area, there's a network of feline rescuers that I know I can call, and so you may have that around you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are invited for our guest, Pam Johnson Bennett. She is a feline behaviorist. She's a certified animal behavior consultant. She's the author of 6 award-winning books, including Think Like a Cat, Cat Versus Cat, and Hiss and Tell. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions about cats, cat care, cat behavior, cat training, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. When you come up, you've done this now for a number of years, but when you come up and you encounter a problem, a behavior problem that you got to work on, how do you begin to tease out what's at the root of the problem? You put your detective hat on. Where do you begin?
Well, the first place I begin, and I recommend everybody begins this way, is you rule out medical possibilities. And there are so many medical conditions that could affect behavior. So that's what I look at first. I make sure the cat has had a full workup. Based on the problem that is presented to me, I may recommend additional diagnostics. I look at what the cat is eating, because there are some nutritional things that can affect behavior. So I first have to get that out of the way. Once the cat gets a clean bill of health, it's a comprehensive thing. I look at what the owner tells me. I look at the cat, and I look at the environment. And I very often have to read between the lines, because what the owner tells me and what I really see aren't necessarily the same thing.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that cats are really creatures of habit, and so they don't surprise me very much anymore. An owner will call and say, oh, I bet you've never had this problem before. But I really have, because they're very predictable.
Mm.
You know, just like if your cat is not using the litter box, take the cat to the vet to rule out medical problems, and then go to the litter box and look at the situation. Very often it's either too dirty, or it's too small a box, or it's in the wrong location. Cats will tell you if you've gotten it right.
Mm. We've got a number of listeners who would like to talk with you, Pam, so let's go next to a listener on line 1 on a cell phone. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. I just was wondering, my girlfriend, she has 3 cats, and I am extremely allergic to them, or one of them, I don't know which, but it I mean, it just makes my, if I spend a couple days with her at her house, I can hardly breathe. And I don't think she's quite comprehending that. I'm not trying to get rid of them, but I'm trying to figure out a way to accommodate both of us in that situation.
And that's a very difficult thing. I mean, that's, I know of a lot of people who have had to rehome their cats because of allergies, either when children were born or when, you know, they got married. The first thing is there are a lot of good websites. If you do research on the web, and there are a lot of people who are allergic to cats who have posted things that work for them. The first thing is a whole house HEPA filter. Make sure that my air in my house is so clean. I've got the ionizers. I've got the HEPA filters. I use a vacuum with a HEPA filter. Make sure the cats are really getting top-notch nutrition, because what you are allergic to is the protein in the saliva. And when the cat grooms himself, that dries and that becomes the allergen. If the cat is healthy, he's getting brushed regularly, he's got a healthy coat, he'll be doing less grooming, and so that's less of the allergen going out there. So make sure his coat is in good condition. Make sure he has a lot of activity so that he isn't doing a lot of stress-related grooming, or what we call displacement grooming. There are also some products you can buy that some of my clients have had good luck with. You can talk to your vet about. There are sprays that you use that kind of bond to the allergen, to the protein in the saliva, and make it heavy so that it falls to the ground and doesn't fly around in the air. So there are a lot of things that you can do that may help you.
All righty. Thank you.
Good luck with that. We'll keep our fingers crossed for everybody there.
Yeah, and I find that when people are allergic to cats, they are susceptible to other allergies as well. And so, and I know I live in Tennessee, you know, this is allergy central, you know, area. So we reduce the amount of things in our house that could be dangerous, you know, or could be triggers. Like, I have hardwood floors that are easier to clean, limit the carpets. You know, I don't have curtains. I have plantation shutters, things that would just be little allergen magnets, you know, I've reduced.
Yeah. At our house, we since we've adopted this fellow, we've been changing the furnace filter, the AC filter, more often. And
right.
That also seems to really help, you know, what's hanging out in the house.
Right, and it's a great, for me, it's like, it was a great excuse to get my husband to have me clean more often because of the allergies, you know, so I don't let the dust build up. I have no excuse now. I have to do it.
Well, let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi. I had a question about my cat. She I can't seem to get her to stop eating the plants, and she vomits pretty much like every day, like clockwork, about, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, she'll throw up, and it's usually not her food that she's throwing up. It's usually just something clear and then a little piece of the plant, which is not, it's not a toxic plant, but it does cause her to throw up. And we've tried everything. We've tried putting this something we bought at the pet store. I can't remember the name of it, but it's spicy or something like that. And we've tried lots of different things, and we can't seem to get her to stop eating the plants.
Okay.
And
just to be on the safe side, even if you are seeing plant material in the vomitus, just have her checked by the vet to make sure that she's not seeking the plant out to vomit because there's something wrong. So just place a quick call to your veterinarian to just make sure.
We've taken her in a couple times actually for this, and they've done, you know, all sorts of tests and, you know, to see if there was anything lodged in her stomach to make her vomit.
Okay.
It hasn't been that. So.
Okay. There are, and this may be the product that you use, but sometimes people just don't use it enough. There is a bitter apple for plants, a spray, or bitter anti-chew. They're all different kind of brands, and you spray it on the plant. But the key is you have to spray the top and the bottom of the leaves. What I do is I put newspaper on the bottom when I'm going to spray so that I don't damage my floors, or I take it outside and I spray. I use a little mask over my face, and I use gloves just because as you're spraying it, you don't want to be breathing this stuff in. It really is nasty. And I spray the plants, and I do this about twice a week as I'm going through the initial retraining period. you've got to just keep that reminder up for the cat. And that usually does it. That stuff, it tastes pretty nasty, but you have to make sure you've thoroughly coated the top and the bottom of the leaves.
Okay. Okay, I will try that. Thank you.
Okay. Also, it's important to remember cats do like to chew on greenery. It's kind of a mystery as to why cats like to do it, and we don't want them to chew on plants, but people can grow some kitty greens. You can get the little kits in the pet supply store or grow some catnip for your cat so that you can offer them a small amount of the greens that they like.
Hmm. Let's talk with another listener. Caller on a cell phone, line 4. Hi.
Hi. I have 2 male Bengal kitties, and they're brothers. They've gotten along together ever since they were little, but now they're having displaced aggression. Whenever they see anything outside, they try to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to keep them from seeing things outside. I don't know what else to do.
Is it specifically cats that they see, or is it anything?
No, mainly cats. We have a couple of cats that run loose in our neighborhood. And
yeah, that unfortunately, when you have a cat who has redirected aggression or displaced aggression, the one thing that's going to trigger it is an unfamiliar cat in the yard, because cats are territorial. And I have a couple solutions. One is to take some white poster paper and cover the bottom of the windows or some kind of opaque covering. It's not going to look great, but you have to limit their view. The more they see the cats, and you can't control the cats outside, the more they see them, the more that keeps triggering it. So if you just cover the bottom parts of the windows, they still get to enjoy the trees and the birds and the sunlight, and set up, if there is a place in your house where there's a window where they couldn't see other cats, put a cat tree there or a bird feeder outside the window so that they have a nice place to perch, but that they aren't seeing those cats. The other thing is, if the outdoor cats aren't seeing your indoor cats as much, they may not come around as close to the door or the window. The other thing is, there's a product called Scarecrow, and if you put that in the search engine, it's a motion-activated sprinkler.
We're getting one of those, yes.
And that really, now the trick is, you have to make sure you set it up right so that it's not going to affect people who walk up on your driveway or your sidewalk. But
we have to use it on our pond.
But it can really help just keep the cats away.
Okay.
And if the cats start staying at a farther distance, and that might help to reduce the redirected aggression that's going on.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana on line 1. Hi.
Hi. I've got 4 cats who are all doing very well with each other and all love me very much, except that one of them, I just cannot pick her up. And this is a problem, you know, when I'm trying to take her to the vet or, you know, if there was an emergency or something like that. And she just will not let me pick her up.
Will she, if you're sitting on the couch, would she come up, excuse me, onto your lap, or does she like to be petted?
Oh, she loves to be petted, but it's definitely on her terms, thank you.
Okay, but she would sit next to you, maybe? Or no?
No, there's another cat that owns my lap.
Okay.
But she will do things like jump up on counters and let me pet her, but the instant I look like I'm thinking about picking her up, or restraining her in any way, she's gone.
Okay. The best way to retrain her is, I am such a big fan of clicker training, and there are a lot of books on clicker training. One that I recommend highly is Karen Pryor's book, Clicker Training for Cats. And what you do is, it's a little clicker, just makes a little cricket sound, and you start, there's a whole, I can't give it to you in a 2-minute radio answer, but it's basically the clicker marks the behavior that you want, and then as soon as you see behavior you want, you click, and then you give her a treat. And you start by clicking when you pet her.
Mm-hmm.
And the book will go through the step-by-step on how to do it. And then you'll get to the point where, when she's accepting that, okay, click means I did something right and I get food, you know, you pet her, you click, you give her a treat, then you'll put your hand around her, click, give her a treat, and then you'll put your hand under her and lift her up and then put her back down, click, and give her a treat. So you're gradually building up her tolerance, but there's a good consequence. There's a payoff for her for being tolerant of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the point, you'll just work in stages to where you can pick her up to your level and then back down to the floor, or you'll put her in the carrier and then take her out, or pick her up and walk to another room and put her down. You'll gradually build up to that, but she'll see there's always a payoff. There's always a reason why I should allow this, because I get a treat.
Okay. Do you favor either the hard or the soft carriers for reluctant cats?
I think the hard carriers, I really like the kennel carriers where the top unscrews from the bottom,
mm-hmm.
because they are easier to get a fractious cat out of, because you can just undo all the screws or the twists and let the cat stay in the bottom part of the carrier with a towel when he's at the vet, because that kind of gives him a sense of security. I don't like carriers where if I'm dealing with a fur-covered razor blade that I have to go into, reach my hand into, or dump the cat out. I think that's very rude to the cats. So I like the kennel-type carriers.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'll give this a try.
All right. Thanks for the call. We had a fellow who was very reluctant to go to the veterinarian, and it was kind of a struggle, and that's what we did. And what we figured out pretty quickly is then once you take that carrier, when you get the carrier, you take it apart, and right then and there, you put the screws in upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're ready to go.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I also feel, and I can't stress this enough, it's important for people to train their cats to accept going into the carrier.
Yeah.
Because from a cat's point of view, they only see the carrier when they're going to
yeah.
the dreaded trip to the veterinarian. So train your cat well in advance to take the mystery and the horror and the trauma out of the carrier. I keep my carrier out. It's got a towel in it. It's a cozy little bed for my cats. I train them using treats and the clicker so that they go in and out. And the reason I do it, now, there are many reasons to do it in terms of you never know when a disaster is going to happen. But for me, it hit home very seriously. I live in Tennessee, and I'm in tornado country. And we had a tornado warning, and I had to get my cats in the carrier that second. I couldn't leave the house with cats in my arms. I needed to know they were safe. Luckily, I had trained my cats to the carrier, so all I had to do was toss the treat in there and tell them to go in, and they went in.
Yeah.
So it's important for an emergency that you're able to get your cats in the carrier.
Yeah, okay. This is really good information because we're in tornado country, too, here in Illinois. How long does this kind of training take, and would you use the clicker, too, maybe? And
yes. You don't have to use the clicker, although clickers for me work very well because it marks the behavior that you want. But you can just do it by leaving the carrier open, feeding the cat in front of the carrier, or tossing a treat in front of the carrier. And then over the course of a few days, the treat goes on the threshold of the carrier. Then it goes in the middle and then in the back. And then when the cat goes in and eats the treat, you click and reward again. If he goes in and out, that's fine. If he goes in and after a week of doing this training, then you close the door for a second and then open it. And then next time you do it, you close the door, you count to 10 and open it. And then he goes in, he gets his treat, you close the door, you pick the carrier up, you walk into another room, and then bring him back and reward him. I also take the cats for a ride around the block so that they see that not every trip in the carrier means we're going to the vet.
My
so
cat,
it is important for because it's not only tornadoes, but, you know, you may have to leave
right.
in an emergency for any number of reasons,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want a cat in a panic. You're trying to get the cat in the carrier or trying to carry the cat in your arms, and you never want a cat loose in the car.
Okay. Now, our cat is not a guy who likes the commercial cat treats. Can I just use a crumb of tuna, or what would you?
You can use, if your cat is overweight, you can use a portion of his meal. If he's not overweight, you can use a little bit of shredded cooked chicken, or one thing I did that now you always have to check with your vet because it's a nutritional thing, but I took baby food, meat-flavored baby food, the one that does not have any onion or garlic because that's not good for cats, and I put it on a little tiny bit on the tip of a baby spoon because that was just irresistible for my cat.
Okay, so I just need to find something irresistible.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got one more caller to take this afternoon before we have to wrap things up, so let's get this listener in right away here. Green Up, line four, hi.
What can I plant in a strip between my house and garage to repel my cats?
Nothing.
Nothing. They're using it in a way I don't like.
Okay, you can put under the soil, you can use garden netting.
Okay.
So that when they go to dig, you know, just, you know, you have your soil, then the garden netting, and then you put the mulch down. So that when they go to dig, they can't, it's not comfortable. They get their claws caught in it. They'll decide that they don't like it. You can also, as I told the previous caller, use the Scarecrow Motion activated sprinkler. I've done that. I've used the garden netting. You can also use chicken wire, although garden netting is so much easier, just so that they'll see that it's really not a comfortable place to go.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Pam, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Celeste.
It's been so good to talk with you. It's been such a long time. I want to thank you very much for spending some time with us this afternoon and helping us all out with our furry friends.
Well, my pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Pam Johnson-Bennett has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. She is a clinical member of the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, the founder and chair of the organization's cat division. She's the author of six award-winning books, Think Like a Cat, Cat Versus Cat, and Hiss and Tell among them. She is a certified animal behavior consultant, and it's always a pleasure to talk with her.